Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Holyrood Sources podcast is brought to you in association with the Royal Bank of Scotland. The Royal Bank has been part of Scottish communities for almost 300 years, helping businesses thrive, growing the economy, supporting customers to manage their money, and to fulfil their financial dreams. From the world's first overdraft to the first fully fledged internet banking service, the Royal Bank of Scotland has always innovated to make banking easier for customers. Today, the Royal Bank supports around one in three Scottish businesses and is one of the largest banks in Scotland for personal customers. It also remains one of Scotland's largest private sector employers, contributing millions of pounds to the economy each year. As we approach the Royal Bank's third centenary in 2027, the bank's commitment to Scotland and to championing the potential of the people, families and businesses who call Scotland their home remains as strong as ever. The podcast starts now.
Who does the First Minister think he is pleased most today? Is it Douglas Ross, Fergus Ewing or Alex Salmond? And more to the point, which of them does he think he can rely on for a majority in Parliament now?
First Minister.
Presiding Officer, obviously Patrick Harvey and I spoke this morning, and I go back to the points and the comments that I made this morning. I do thank Patrick Harvey and Lorna Slater for their contribution to this government, to their contribution to this country, and I think we can take great pride in what the Bute House Agreement has achieved.
Hello and welcome to the Holyrood Sources podcast. We bring you inside Scottish politics at least once a week to unpack and understand what's going on and what it all means. If you are finding us for the first time, welcome. Press subscribe, press follow, don't miss another episode. It is great to have you there. Nowhere else does what we do, by the way. We spend time discussing and analysing with the best guests and the best insiders. We have two resident insiders, in fact, who predict things like, for example, the end of an agreement on coalition government, just to, you know, come up with one. They are the best in the business and they are here for you every single week. Hello, first of all, to Jeff Aberdeen, who is Alex Salmond's chief of staff, joining us from Barcelona, where you are technically on holiday, Jeff.
Very technically on holiday. Yes, I'm in the Holyrood Sources Barcelona bureau. I can tell you the Catalonians are joyous in the streets at the end of the House Agreement. This is all they're talking about, coming up to me, speaking to me about it. Amazing. I'm actually looking, by the way, I'm at a marina, by the way. Cheers to Holiday.
He's got a pint in his hand, as per usual.
Yeah. Looking at a marina, looking at one of these yachts and thinking, I don't think this podcast's ever going to generate enough cash for me to buy one of these. Quite sad, really.
Hopefully just enough for a camper van. And hello to Andy McKeever, who was Director of Communications for the Scottish Conservatives, who's already been hanging out at Holyrood, soaking up the chaos there. Andy, hello.
Good morning. Yes, I'm at the, or good afternoon, I should say. I'm actually at the Holyrood
I'm at the Holyrood Bureau of Holyrood Sources. I've been at the Parliament this morning. I'm now sitting in the Holyrood Hotel next door on what is a big, big political day. Pretty incredible stuff.
We're recording this episode on Thursday, the 25th of April, which is, yes, the day that Hamza Yousaf ended the Bute House Agreement. It is over. There is no longer a partnership, a coalition deal between the SNP and the Scottish Greens. For those of you who have been living your lives today, let's start the podcast with a bit of how the morning unfolded.
Dig Abel.
7:51. Just a little bit of breaking political news this morning. We're keeping an eye on the First Minister of Scotland, Hamza Yousaf, will hold an unexpected cabinet meeting at 8:30 this morning. So in about 40 minutes' time, as questions mount over the SNP's government partnership with the Greens in Scotland. It's not entirely clear if that is what's on the table and whether it's going to collapse or not, but that's what the speculation is.
The time is exactly 8 o'clock. It's Thursday morning, the 25th of April. The First Minister has called an emergency cabinet meeting this morning amid speculation about the future of the power-sharing deal with the Scottish Greens. Well, let's get more from our political correspondent, Kirsten Campbell. Kirsten, this meeting's due to start at 8:30. It seems to have been hastily arranged.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare for cabinet to meet more than once a week. The First Minister's diary is usually kept clear on a Thursday morning to allow him to prepare for First Minister's questions. So the fact that ministers have been called in for a second time suggests something serious, you know, something significant. I'm not expecting a resignation or a declaration of war. So, the next best guess is that the Bute House agreement is in peril, the deal with the Scottish Greens.
It's just gone 25 to 9. And just a wee update there. The Scottish Green Party co-leaders Patrick Harvey and Lorna Slater have left Bute House in Edinburgh ahead of an emergency Scottish Government cabinet meeting there. They didn't make any comment as they left.
Lorna Slater, Patrick Harvey, is the coalition over? Is the agreement with the SNP over? Why have you been at Bute House this morning?
And then the announcement.
Cooperation in any sphere of life is almost by definition a trade-off, one which the benefits of working together are held up against limitations of compromise. And when it comes to our agreement with the Scottish Green Party, I believe that the benefits have outweighed the compromises. When I said that the agreement was worth its weight in gold, I meant it. However, it is now my judgment that the balance has shifted. The Bute House Agreement was intended to provide stability to the Scottish Government, and it has made possible a number of achievements, but it has served its purpose. It's no longer guaranteeing a stable arrangement in Parliament. The events of recent days have made that clear. And therefore, after careful consideration, I believe that going forward, it is in the best interests of the people of Scotland to pursue a different arrangement. That is why, following a discussion with my cabinet this morning, I have formally notified Patrick Harvey and Lorna Slater that I am terminating the Bute House agreement with immediate effect. I spoke to both Patrick and Lorna earlier this morning. I thank them for their substantial contribution to the Scottish Government and to Scotland and their public service over the last few years. I also made clear to them that my intention is that our respective parties continue to work together where we can in the national interest. Significantly, we are resolute in our determination to give the people of Scotland a say on their constitutional future, which of course Westminster parties continue to deny the people. In essence, I hope that we will still be cooperating, but just returning to, frankly, a less formal arrangement. To continue delivering for the people of Scotland, I believe it is right that the SNP seek to broaden its sphere of cooperation. And that then brings me to what happens next. Having laid the foundations for my priorities in government over the last 13 years, we will now step up our ambition. But we will do so as a minority government.
And what then of former partners in government, the Scottish Greens? Here's co-leader Patrick Harvey.
This morning, the two of us, my fellow co-leader Lorna and I, went to a meeting with the First Minister at Bute House, where he informed us of his decision to end the cooperation agreement between the Scottish Government and the Scottish Greens. This is a total U-turn on his position from recent weeks and even days, where he had reasserted his government's commitment to the progressive policies that our parties had jointly agreed on and the need to ramp up climate action in the face of decades of political inaction, including from the SNP government. The First Minister has decided, I'm sorry to say, to capitulate to the most reactionary, backward-looking forces within the SNP, and it's the opposite of what's in Scotland's best interests. Hamza Yousaf became First Minister last year when his members rejected the idea of an SNP lurch to the right, and he now looks set to give his party what they rejected. He'll be shoring up support from his Conservative wing and ditching the progressive policy platform he was elected on, which he continued to endorse just days ago. And we now expect to see a raft of progressive policies watered down, delayed or ditched altogether, from rent controls to nature restoration, from new sustainable transport policies to Scotland's leading approach on decarbonising homes. But to those in the SNP who do still believe in a progressive and fairer Scotland, our door is open.
Just want to read some of your comments at this point as well, because we tweeted earlier to get some of your reaction to the end of the Bute House agreement, and I think it's really interesting to go through some of these. Craig says, done with a laser focus on the upcoming general election and playing to the base to maximise vote share. Nothing more, nothing less. As to how younger voters react to a weakening on climate action, that will be interesting. David says, it's a good first step for Yousaf and the SNP. However, if it's not followed with grown-up serious political decisions, then it makes little difference. Time for a reset in the SNP. It's his first chance to really brush off the continuity candidate tag, and at a time when it's hugely needed. Harper replies to us on Twitter, at Holyrood Sources. Harper says, Hamza is desperate and struggling. Bring forward the Holyrood election. Peter says, I think it's a mistake by both sides. If we want to show the folly of a first-past-the-post Westminster-style system, we should be working together on the things we do agree on and demonstrating the strength and benefits of our Euro-style PR beliefs. Who won here? Unionists, says Peter. Neil says, this is long overdue. The Greens had ruled the roost and repeatedly showed they were unfit for government. And Rachel simply says, was he listening to your podcast this week, boys? You called it. Well, more from the political insiders, Jeff Aberdeen and Andy McKeever, comes next. If you don't want to hear these ads and you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then you can pay $4.99 a month and you'll never hear the ads again. Just press subscribe at the top of your feed and support the podcast that way.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Holyrood Sources podcast is brought to you in association with the Royal Bank of Scotland. The Royal Bank has been part of Scottish communities for almost 300 years, helping businesses thrive, growing the economy, supporting customers to manage their money, and to fulfil their financial dreams. From the world's first overdraft to the first fully fledged internet banking service, the Royal Bank of Scotland has always innovated to make banking easier for customers. Today, the Royal Bank supports around one in three Scottish businesses and is one of the largest banks in Scotland for personal customers. It also remains one of Scotland's largest private sector employers, contributing millions of pounds to the economy each year. As we approach the Royal Bank's third centenary in 2027, the bank's commitment to Scotland and to championing the potential of the people, families and businesses who call Scotland their home remains as strong as ever. Right, Jeff, let's come to you first for, I suppose, a kind of broad thought on why this has happened and indeed who comes out of this well, if anyone.
Why it's happened is for a collection of reasons. It got off to a very sticky start, the agreement. We know about all the different policies that have either fallen into abeyance or have been lost. Recently, the relationship was getting frayed. We've had some pretty... let's be honest with you, spicy comments from Patrick Harvey on the back of the Cash Review. And I do wonder if that was the straw that broke the camel's back for many SNP parliamentarians who found their voice and have clearly said to Hamza, this has got to end. I mean, we were facing, as Andy rightly articulated earlier in the week, almost a ridiculous position where the Greens were going to jettison the SNP and not the way around. I mean, that's so astonishing if you're the principal party of government getting reading like that. So I think they've taken the decision for that reason. Now, who wins out of this? Neither of them win out of it as things stand, because both of them have undertaken this experiment. And I think, as I said earlier this week, large swathes of the public opinion would suggest that it's not worked. Now, what happens now is in Hamza's gift to a certain extent. Now, he needs to fight every single day now like it's a campaign day. His career as First Minister depends on how he now charts a new course, and he has to chime with the people's priorities, find issues that can find public opinion. And as a minority government, and I know being in a minority government, you have to be very tactile, you have to be very strategic, you have to expose your opposition, almost lure them into voting for your agenda, because if they don't, then you go to the public and then say, they wouldn't back it. So this is going to be a very, very interesting time. I'm very excited about it. Politics has just got all the more interesting in this country.
And Andy, just on a couple of the things that Jeff's picking up on, and we'll come back to minority government in a sec, because I think, Jeff, your experience on that clearly is going to be invaluable in this conversation. But Andy, Hamza Yousaf was the only candidate in last year's leadership contest who was, you know, hyping up, frankly, the Bute House Agreement, extolling its virtues. So does he take quite a credibility hit at this point, do you think?
It could be seen that way. And there, you know, he said what he said about the Bute House Agreement. He said it on our podcast. You know, he made it very clear that he was politically and, I suppose, emotionally tied to the agreement. So, yes, he will have to face questions about why that is no longer the case. But he can't afford to dwell on that. He's got to own this change. He's got to own this issue. He made it clear this morning at his press conference that this was his decision and that was the right first step to take. So he's just got to simply own it and change course. This, though, is a first step in terms of the SNP looking at their ratings, looking at their situation, looking at the elections coming up and saying, this is not working. This is step number one, but it's not all. There has to be a step number two. And a step number two is saying, okay, it's now just us. It's now just up to us. We don't have anybody else to blame. What are we now going to do to persuade the people who've left us, to persuade the people who don't want to vote for us anymore or want to vote for somebody else, that we are the best bet and they should come back to us? And that is going to involve significant personnel change, in my view, at cabinet level. This is not enough just to jettison the Greens from this government. They have to renew the government. This has got to be Hamza Yousaf 2.0 at this point, or else they're just going to lose.
Yeah, Jeff, I see you nodding.
Yeah, I'm going to be a bit more blunt. I've had a couple of beers. I'm on the marina in Barcelona, as I say. So I'm just going to say, get rid of the pish. Get rid of the pish legislation. that you've got upcoming that means very little to the vast majority of the public. Focus on issues that carry favour. Focus on job creation. Focus on health. Focus on education. Forget the rest of it. This is your start of your election campaign and the start of a period that will determine whether First Minister Hamza Yousaf will remain indeed as First Minister.
Let's talk minority government next, because clearly this means, and Hamza Yousaf has confirmed, that the SNP will now operate as a minority government, not for the first time indeed. And Jeff, this is part of your expertise, because Alex Salmond ran a minority government from 2007 to 2011. Now, just as a sidebar to that, there was an informal kind of deal, if you like, or informal cooperation with the Scottish Conservatives on things like budgets and these sorts of things. And I just want to add to that what Hamza Yousaf has said today, which is that he is looking for cooperation. He is looking for the Parliament to kind of do what the Parliament was set up to do, which is to work together to cooperate. But here are some of the responses from the opposition parties. The Greens say he is weak and hopeless. He'll be out by Christmas. The Scottish Conservatives say this is utter humiliation for Hamza Yousaf, who is inept and out of his depth. Labour say it's chaotic, it's incompetent. And the Lib Dems say two clowns have left the clown car, but the circus continues. It doesn't sound like there's a willingness for cooperation in all of that.
There doesn't, which makes the case all the more stronger to fight in platforms at issues that you think can get public opinion behind you. And that is no better motivator to get political parties behind you. And that's how we fought between 2007 and 11. Yes, there was a more consensual approach. Yes, there was compromise to be found. But we fought on issues that we felt the people overwhelmingly backed. And that's my point about some of the issues and priorities that we pursued recently. I'm being a little bit derogatory in saying that they're all pish, but they do not carry public optimism, support in any sense. And they haven't been explained particularly well. So strip everything back when you're in a minority, focus on issues that you know the public will back, and then challenge your opposition to back you, or indeed will go at the poll. Now, the SNP, let's be clear, right now, under Hamza Yousaf, they're not in a position of strength. This has weakened them today, but they need to come out of the traps very, very quickly with a very strong agenda and try and expose their opponents on issue-by-issue basis. Now, they do that, they've got a chance of resuscitating what is a pretty tricky situation for them.
Andy, what's your take on the minority government that Hamza Yousaf is now leading?
I think it's not as difficult as a lot of people seem to think it's going to be, for a couple of reasons. We know why they went into this agreement in the first place. A lot of it was to secure votes inside Holyrood. They were paranoid. There was a difficult situation for them at the end of the last parliament. They were losing votes. Ministers were being threatened with votes of no confidence and so on. And they were worried about that. But they've got 63 MSPs. They only need two more. And also, to lose a vote, that means that every other MSP has to coalesce around something to beat the SNP on, from Albert and the Greens to Labour and the Tories. That's not that easy to do. And, you know, the truth is that the way you run minority government, which is a perfectly normal thing for the Scottish Parliament to do, and which is done for, you know, practically half of its life, is to find things that people can't vote against. It's not that hard. There are lots and lots of MSPs who would have opposition MSPs who will have very little choice but to vote for an SNP Hamza Yousaf budget if it contains things that they need in their constituencies and they can't vote against. So I really don't think, for both of those reasons, because you need to coalesce every other opposition party against you, and because it's not that hard to buy some of them off, quite frankly, for both of those reasons, I really don't think this minority government is going to be anything like as hard as people are presenting it as being to run. I think it'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, we're listening there to somebody who's never been in government, let alone minority government. So it's a little bit more challenging than he makes out.
Hey, listen, Jeff, if you want to talk about minority government, I've not been in government, but I've been in lots of minorities, so I know half.
Well,
it's a little bit. Andy's not wrong in his general thrust, but you need to be. Everyone wants to compare 2007 to now. It's an unfair comparison in many ways, because we were a new government. There was a shiny new thing in town, and it was quite easy to try and impose yourself. And let's face it, Alex Salmond was a particularly strong leader and character. So it's not going to be as easy as that for the SNP. I expect it to be challenging, but nonetheless, it doesn't remove what I've just said, and I think Andy's echoed that as well. Focus on issues that you know carry public opinion support. If you have to lose some of your agenda, previously agreed agenda, that's not a problem, right? But just make sure that you let the people know why these things are dropping, you know? And that's where the politics comes in. That's where the tactics come in. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it unfolds. I think the right decision was met today. I think we covered it on the podcast earlier this week. It was running into a dead end, particularly after the activists of the Green Party were calling for this EGM. And at that point, you knew that this thing had a limited shelf life. So Hummus has done the right thing, and he should have some credit for that. But now, going forward, it's all about how he wants to chart a new course, use this as a point of departure, and really try and get back that lost ground in terms of rating in the poll.
Andy, we've talked about the SNP and what next for Hamza Yousaf as the leader of a minority government, but we must mention the Scottish Greens as well, because, of course, they were the other part of this, but we've talked about them a lot on this podcast. Indeed, you've credited them with being, you know, arguably the most successful political party in the history of devolution, given their 250,000 votes that they got in the last Scottish election, and then their influence to govern in government. So, what next for them? What happens now?
Well, I think they'll be okay is the short answer. Slightly longer answer coming up now, I guess. Look, I think it was Mario Cuomo, governor of New York, who said you campaign in poetry and govern in prose, and the Greens are going to go back to poetry now. And actually, poetry is what they're better at, because it's easier to give the sort of messages and the sort of ideology they like to give from outside government than it is from inside government. And they now have a pretty strong campaigning point. Their poll rating has been going up all the way through government. They've had massive, massive influence in government, much more so than the Bute House have even actually allowed them to have. Their influence has been vast. And I think they can play on that. They can now go into the 2026 election and say, look at all the great things we got done in government, and look at all the terrible things that have happened since. Now, that's not an appeal to a centrist voter, but they're not looking for a centrist voter. They're looking for a very, very left-wing voter. And they might find that some of the people who were voting SNP on the second vote, on the list vote over the last couple of elections, might say to themselves, actually, I think I'm going to switch, because I kind of liked things more when the Greens were involved than I do now that they're not. So I think the Greens will be okay. I think they've got a decent foundation for strategy for the next election. And I remain of the view, as I have done throughout, and as has been subject to a bet between me and our resident Spaniard, Mr. Aberdeen, that the Greens will increase their number of MSPs at the 2026 election. I think, if anything, today makes that potentially more likely and not less if they play their part right.
Andy, thank you very much. Jeff, thank you very much as well. You can get back to the pints now. Thank you both. That is a snap reaction then, snap analysis on the end of the Bute House agreement announced by First Minister Hamza Yousaf, who now leads a minority government at Holyrood. We will continue with reaction and analysis in the days, the weeks, the months ahead as well. Who knows how the opposition parties will respond to this? Who knows if Hamza Yousaf can keep things going? What you can be certain of is that the Holyrood Sources podcast is the only place you need to come for all the best inside information on what is happening in Scottish politics. Make sure you follow, make sure you subscribe. You can find us on YouTube as well, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.